I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Goodness me! What a fantastic goal! What a goal! That is absolutely superb!
Huge cheers go up around Emirates Stadium.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Monday, the 19th of October 2017. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on today's show, Jack Wilshere talks about his return to the club. We examine the letter M in the A to Z of Arsenal. Adrian Clarke is back for another dose of the chalkboard. We kick off by going around the club with Max Jones.
It's time to go around the club with Max Jones.
Well, delighted to say that Arsenal Media's Max Jones joins us. Max, good morning. I believe you're actually physically sitting at Arsene Wenger's media conference table up at the London Colney training ground. Great seat to be in.
Yeah, morning, Russ. Unfortunately, I don't think I command the same authority that he does when he sits in this chair. But it's very comfortable and ready to talk about some football.
Excellent. So you're up there for the Arsenal Women's Media Day. Just tell us a little bit of the background on how things are shaping up at the moment.
Yeah, it's good. So we've got a couple of sponsors here today. They're going to be doing some stuff with the women's team, and then we're going to be getting them to do some slow-mo headshots, some interviews. A couple of players actually, we're going to get to interview each other as well. So that should be quite nice. We'll do a couple of bad joke competitions with them. So, you know, there's a bit of fun mixed in with some serious stuff as well.
And on the serious side, it has been a bit of an up and down start to the season, hasn't it, for Arsenal's women?
Yeah, I mean, you get the sense that they've not really settled yet. I don't think Pedro Martinez-Losa knows exactly what his best team is just yet. It's quite early for that. But just looking at where they are on the table, I mean, they're sixth at the moment. One win, one draw, one defeat. But it does mean that already they're 5 points off Chelsea and Manchester City, who have each won their three opening games. It's probably worth bearing in mind that these are two teams who lost just once all of last season. So you can't really be expecting them to slip up. What it does mean is that Arsenal really need to up their game in the next few weeks. Possibly, I'd say most of the work needs to be done in defence. In the recent games, they've used two new players in Josephine Henning and Jessica Samuelson, who may just take a bit of time to adapt to the new team and the system and things like that. All of the new bedding in problems, I guess, that each team goes through. So, you know, I don't think it's crisis mode just yet. I don't think there's any need to panic, but Arsenal really do need to start up in their game in the next few weeks.
In terms of one or two positives to take, we talked, didn't we, Max, pre-season about a few new faces coming in and the opportunity to really kind of mark a new period in Arsenal women's history. And hopefully the pieces are at least in place. They just need a bit more time to maybe slot together.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about getting these players to gel together. I think it's really important that the Vivian Miedema gets up and running sooner rather than later. I think there's been a lot of media talk about her arrival and what she can bring to Arsenal, and lots of former players and current coaches have come out and said what a good signing she is. But, you know, the longer she goes without scoring, the more pressure is heaped upon her. So it's important that she comes out, gets a goal, and I'm really actually looking forward to seeing how well she combines with Heather O'Reilly as well. It looks like those two could have a good understanding on the pitch, so hopefully we see that soon.
OK, let's move on then to one or two of the other stories surrounding the club and one or two Arsenal players from the men's senior team who've had exciting times with their nations in guaranteeing qualification for the World Cup. Let's start maybe with Alex Iwobi in Nigeria, because this is a really nice story, Max, isn't it?
Yeah, what a moment. I mean, this is you know, a youngster who joined us when he was just 8 years old. He's come through the academy system here. He's eventually made it into the first team. Scored his first goal for us when he was 19. And then 2 years later, with Nigeria needing a goal against Zambia, he's the one that's coming off the bench. And then just 7 minutes after coming off the bench, he's scoring the winner. And I don't know if you had a chance to look at the goal and the celebrations that followed, but it just seems like an incredible moment. And I'm so pleased for him as well, because he's such a nice guy. And to see him have a moment like that, I mean, that will last a lifetime.
Yeah, brilliant to see that he's in such a rich vein of form for club and country at the moment, the youngster.
And also, Russ, yeah, I mean, he's always said that he wanted to follow in his Uncle JJ's footsteps. And now, having sent his country to a World Cup, he gets the chance to do that at a major tournament. So, yeah, absolutely buzzing for him. And I'm sure on the biggest stage, him and the likes of Kelechi Iheanacho and Wilfred Ndidi, Isaac Success, you know, they've got a huge batch of youngsters, talented youngsters, who, given the chance to impress, I'm sure will.
OK, let's move on to Egypt next. Of course, they're there after beating Congo 2-1. Mohamed Elneny playing in that one.
Yeah, well, he's featured in almost every single minute of Egypt's World Cup qualifying campaign, and he chipped in with an assist for Mo Salah's opener last night as well. But it's actually the first time that Egypt have qualified for a World Cup since 1990. So we were talking about the celebrations there from the Nigeria game, but the celebrations at the Egypt game were just phenomenal. That even after Mo Salah's opener, I think it was on the hour mark, so you still had half an hour to play, but there was almost a pitch invasion with so many people who were just desperate to celebrate. And they eventually got the result. And it looks like Egypt are going to be a real team unit. They look like they enjoy playing together. They're very organised. And hopefully that will see them get further than the group stage, which is what they managed in 1990.
Now, Switzerland has secured top spot in their group. Granit Xhaka scoring as the Swiss beat Hungary 5-2, wasn't it?
Yeah, he opened the scoring, actually. And again, I don't know if you've seen the goal, but he won't score an easier goal than that. It was a terrible defensive error by the goalkeeper. I believe the ball was passed back to him. He took a touch and then just slipped. And Granit Xhaka, pressurising high up the pitch, which we're not quite used to seeing at Arsenal, managed to be there at the right time to just take a touch and then slot it into the empty net. So, yeah, I mean, perfect start for him. And you've got to remember that even though they have won all nine of their games, and they do top the group currently, they still need a point from their final match to qualify automatically, because their final match is against Portugal, who need to win to top the group. So it's going to be a very good game, actually, and one which I hope Granit comes out on top of. He's been very impressive in their qualifying campaign. He's a real midfield linchpin for them. And like we mentioned there, he's added goals to his game as well. So, you know, fingers crossed for him and for Switzerland as well.
Just a couple to finish off. Disappointment, obviously, for Skodran Mustafi, injured on German international duty as they beat Azerbaijan.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really know the extent of the injury yet. I'm sure the boss will update us with that later on this week. But, you know, he only lasted 36 minutes, so that tells you that it might be quite bad. You know, Germany have already qualified. That was never in doubt with their group. You know, they topped the group from an early stage. I don't think they've lost at all yet. So I think for him to be put into the team, maybe there are question marks over that, over a game that didn't really matter too much. Sure, Arsene Wenger will be desperate to assess the damage when he comes back to Arsenal training this week.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that three-man Arsenal defence potentially without Mustafi a bit later in the show with Clarkey. And just as we let you go, Max, fingers crossed from a Wales point of view and an Arsenal point of view for Aaron Ramsey, massive game against the Republic of Ireland later, as we well know.
Yeah, it really is. I know my granddad will be watching that one with his fingers crossed. He's a very proud Welshman, so he'll be desperate for Aaron to do a job and help Wales qualify for their first World Cup in, you know, however long, if ever.
1959.
Oh, well, I knew that you'd be able to pull it out of the bag there. But no, he's, you know, all they need to do really tonight is beat Republic of Ireland, which obviously is going to be a tough ask. You know, two very passionate nations who are desperate to put their bodies on the line for their countries. But also, if they better Serbia's result tonight, it means that they actually get automatic qualification. So it is very much all to play for in that group. And, you know, we wish Aaron the very best of luck.
Max, appreciate your thoughts on that. And thank you very much indeed for joining us to go around the club on the Arsenal Weekly podcast.
No problem at all, Russ. Cheers.
One man with hopefully a key role to play for Arsenal's first team for the rest of the season to come is Jack Wilshere, the midfielder returning to the club after spending a season on loan at Bournemouth last campaign. Here's Jack's chat with Arsenal Media's Chris Harris.
Jack, you said recently that it's been a while since you felt like an Arsenal player. What's it like to be right back in the mix?
Yeah, it's good. It's the best feeling. You know, that's what I've always known. That's what I didn't, you know, last year it wasn't planned to go on loan, although I had a good time and, you know, I learned a lot and I went to a good club. I never planned that, you know, I wanted to stay at Arsenal and then things changed. But now I'm happy to be back. You know, the year before I went on loan I was injured, so it's been a couple of years since I can say I've been playing, you know, or been fit and available to play for Arsenal and at my best level, so I'm happy.
Is there always a slight note of caution? You don't want to get ahead of yourself, talk too much about it because you've had setbacks before?
Yes and no. I mean, football is, you know, especially the way I play it, you always got a chance of being injured. You know, if you're running with the ball, if you're going into tackles, you know, that's all my injuries have ever been. You know, last year I played 28, 30 games at Bournemouth and then I picked up an impact injury. So, you know, I know a lot of people made a big thing about it and, you know, I was injured again, but I was cool, I was calm. You know, the rehab went really well, only took 4 months for a bone to heal, which is pretty good. So, you know, I've got trust in my body and I'm fit, I'm available and I'm getting back to my best.
Getting back to your best, what are the telltale signs that you know you're getting back to your best?
I think a big thing, a big part of my game, and I always hear the boss say it as well, is, you know, the first 5 metre burst, my first 5 metre burst, when I receive the ball and to get away from defenders. And, you know, I feel that's getting better and better each day. You know, I feel like the way to improve that mostly, obviously in training it helps, you get fitter, but it is in games, you know, when you're playing against opposition that want to win and want to win the ball back and you have to be able to keep the ball. So that's coming back and, you know, my fitness levels, if I'm honest, they're probably the best I've ever been. You know, I mean, I look at my numbers after the game and, you know, I've been out for 4 months, but I'm not the one who hasn't run the most. You know, I don't get me wrong, I don't run the most. We've got a lot of players that do that, but, you know, my numbers are good, so I'm happy.
The boss said some nice things about you. He said Jack's had a few knocks and bruises that really build a man. Do you see what he's saying there?
Yeah, I think he means, you know, when I first broke into the first team, even looking back to when I was 16, you know, you take things for granted. I was training every day, you know, and you're a 16-year-old, you can do that. And as you get older, you know, your body changes. You know, you pick up injuries, you have to be more careful with certain situations, and it makes you stronger as well. You know, I've always loved playing football, and that's what I wanted to do. And there was times where it's been tough, you know, when you're injured and you wake up in the morning, you think, oh, I've got to go to training, all the other lads are training, you've got to go to the gym. And it makes you stronger and it makes you appreciate it more and try and do everything you can to keep fit and keep on the pitch.
The A. Achave! To Z.
Or Charlie George, who can hit them. Oh,
a great goal! Arsenal.
Bergkamp has found Pires. Pires towards Henry. And Arsenal found a goal!
M is for the magic man, Paul Merson.
Got it back from Kiwonga. McGoldrick. Merson coming in. Oh, it's a marvellous goal! Which means so much to the scorer.
Arsenal with a direct route again. Right. Still right. Simply superb. It's a good header from Hartson. It's Merson. Great goal. Arsenal back in the game.
Merson played more than 300 times for the Gunners, scoring 78 goals and winning 2 league championships, plus an FA Cup, a League Cup and a European Cup Winners' Cup medal to boot. M is also for Mertesacker. The current club captain announced himself to the Emirates faithful with this goal in the North London derby back in 2012.
Walcott trying to go around Norton. He's done well, Walcott. Plays across in. Mertesacker with a header! What a time to get your first goal for Arsenal. Per Mertesacker, it's 1-1.
Pert would also score key goals in the FA Cup semi-final victory against Wigan in 2014 and then go one better a year later, scoring the third in the 4-0 victory against Aston Villa in that season's final.
Dzola with the corner. Mertesacker's there, gets the header and scores. and that's it, surely. Arsenal are going to retain the FA Cup, and Per Mertesacker has made it 3-0.
And finally, M is for another legendary central defender and captain, Frank McClintock. After joining the Gunners in 1964, Frank went on to captain the side to Thayer's Cup glory and then to the club's first domestic double in 1971.
And we played Tottenham. At Tottenham, naturally, our big rivals. There was 40,000 at least locked out that night, and I think there was close to 50 or 60,000 at Tottenham. I mean, it was a massive crowd.
Graham, Radford, Charlie George. Radford. Oh, Charlie George, who can hit him? Oh, a great goal!
I'd played 66 competitive matches that year. Never was substituted once. Plus, I played six pre-season friendlies.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
As well, so it was 72 games. And I used to shout and bawl during the game, and it used to be 60-odd thousand people here every game. Well done, pat them in the back, kick them up the backside, maybe try and change tactics. So you're expending an awful lot of energy all the time through the games and that, you know, and I was like an empty shell, going up to pick that cup up. It should have been the greatest moment of my life, and yet I was so tired I didn't enjoy it as much as I should have done.
What a smile. From His Royal Highness the Duke of Kent, the cup goes to Frank McClintock and the Arsenal.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
Joining us at the Chalkboard, none other than Adrian Clark. Clarky, shirt sleeve order today.
Yeah, I thought I'd get my guns out for you, Russ. Are you impressed?
Impressive guns. Not bad at all. Our question at the Chalkboard doesn't involve guns, but it does involve the following. With the injury to Skodra Mustafi, plus the continued absence, as we understand it, of Laurent Koscielny as well, what do you think that'll mean for the Arsenal back three?
Oh, it's not ideal, is it? I must admit, I was hoping that Laurent Koscielny would be back. I was expecting him to be back for this game. Obviously, what happened to Mustafi in the international break is just unlucky. I think, clearly, Rob Holding's going to play, and maybe he deserves to keep his place anyway, because he did a fine job in the last home game against Brighton. Wasn't overworked, let's be honest, but he had a confidence-boosting display. And look, let's turn to Per Mertesacker. I've got no issue with that at all. When you think about his cup final performance, it was momentous. I mean, I struggle to think of a better defensive performance in the last 5 to 10 years, to be honest. That was only a matter of months ago. So look, let's give Per his chance in the middle. It will mean that Arsenal have to defend a little deeper. They might not be able to press with quite as much intensity going forward. They might have to just drop off a touch so that they don't leave space in behind. But Watford have been using Troy Deeney up top of late. And for me, he doesn't have that much pace anyway, Troy Deeney, so it wouldn't be a big deal. Gray against Mertesacker might cause one or two problems, but I've got the trust in the big man.
Okay, and Holding, as you say as well, Clark, he's someone who, he's had the odd little mistake, the odd moment, but I think he's a very good player, he's a very good ball player, and he's a great prospect. And the odd negativity, I think, will be ironed out in time, the more he plays in bigger games as well.
Yeah, as young players, you make mistakes. It's how you recover from those mistakes that often decides what sort of career you had. If you take these poor performances to heart and let it affect you, let it cripple your confidence, there can sometimes be no way back. With Rob, I've seen him brush it under the carpet, not a problem. And like I say, last time out, he looked very assured, so not an issue for me.
OK, so Watford this Saturday evening in the Premier League, Clarke, a team who have started this season well, haven't they?
Very well, yeah. I've been impressed by Watford, who were terrible towards the end of last season. Let's be honest, they were a mess.
Well, Mazzari was pretty much already on the beach, wasn't he, I felt?
Well, Mazzari, he started off OK, but he used 11 different formations last year. That would confuse anyone.
Imagine doing the chalkboard for them.
Exactly.
The Watford Weekly podcast, yeah, should be earning your coin.
No, thank you. But what Marco Silva's done is simplify it. He's gone with more of a 4-2-3-1. Sometimes he plays 4-3-3. I know he dabbled with three at the back for a half at Swansea, but in essence, he's a 4-2-3-1 man this season, and they look more comfortable, Watford. And he's also injecting more pace to the team. The players he's brought in are quicker, and they're more exciting. They're taking teams on with a bit more aggression. Last year, too passive, too defensive. Not so now.
And as a manager as well, Silva, we talk about this new Jose Mourinho. Who will it be? Wasn't Andre Villas-Boas probably, was it? But I just really like him. I like the fact he's a confident manager, but he's someone who gets his point across, and he's clearly got what it takes tactically as well for me.
Very much so, yeah. I think he's tactically astute. He's a smart manager. If things aren't working, he'll change it. He'll rip it up at half-time. He hasn't needed to do that too often this year. I was doing some research on Watford recently for something else, and he's also got the players fired up. They run a lot more than they did under Matt Sarri. I think under the Italian, they ran around 107 kilometres per game. It's up to 111 kilometres per game, which is a massive leap, to be perfectly honest. So each individual within that side is working harder for Silva. So Arsenal, who've been quite comfortable at Vicarage Road in recent seasons, they might not have it all their own way this time.
No, I watched Rekalison make his Watford debut when I covered their game against Liverpool at the start of the season, which of course finished 3-3 and set the tone for one or two different issues there, didn't it? He seems like a useful player because he's really come on and continued to show that maybe he's got what it takes.
Top signing, yeah. He cost a lot of money for a player that very few of us had heard of. But he looks good. Yeah, he looks a good player. He looks a prospect. He's rangy, he's quick. He's had a good balance to Watford down that left-hand side. Hard work as well. He's aggressive. He's up there in terms of winning tackles for Watford. He gets stuck in. He's also deceptively strong in the air as well. So when they swing crosses in from the right-hand side, just watch out for Rekalison coming in at the far stick, because he's quite tall for a wide man, and he's good in the air. I think he will score headers in the years to come. So he's certainly Watford's keep. Well, he's their star. He's been their star man. I would put him and Abdoulou Doucouré as the star men for Watford this season.
And Doucouré is another relatively kind of low-flung player name-wise, isn't he, who's done very well indeed as well. And Silva is very good at this.
Very good. And Watford are pretty good at it, actually. They recruit a lot of players that you don't know a lot about, and some of them turn out to be real gems. Doucouré didn't get a look in for the first 6 months, 9 months of his time at Watford. It looked for all the world that they'd sell him. But now he's got his place in the side towards the end of last season, did well, and he's carried that on. He's improved this year. He's the rock. He is to Watford what Vieira was to Arsenal. He's the strong, powerful midfield player that can defend, and he can also attack. He's got 3 goals, I think, already in the Premier League this year. So Doucouré is decent, but he's not the kind of player that should frighten you. I think Rekalison is probably the main danger man.
Away from home, I'll just throw in as well, because as we know, Emirates Stadium form for Arsenal has been outstanding, hasn't it, this season in all competitions. On their travels, a little more hit and miss.
Definitely more hit and miss. I mean, you think of the Stoke game, the Liverpool game. Arsenal need to prove that they can tough it out in these away games.
As they did at Chelsea.
It was a hopefully a watershed moment for the team tactically, because they worked really hard. They were very disciplined that day, and they didn't give a very good Chelsea side a sniff. Play like that against Watford defensively without the ball, and they'll be absolutely fine. They shouldn't be. You should go into every game feeling confident, But the way Watford are playing, okay, forget the way that they were spanked by Man City. They've had a good start to this season, Watford. If Arsenal take their foot off the gas, Watford could hurt them.
Okay, so either zipping into your tracksuit or putting on your shirt and tie, whichever you prefer of the two.
Shirt and tie, of course.
Good man, good man. Your 5 second pre-Watford Adrian Clarke Arsenal team talk.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with a warning. I'm going to say respect the opposition. Take your foot off the gas against this Watford side and they will hurt you, boys. Be on it.
Loving your work, Adrian Clarke. At the chalkboard, time now for the Brain of Arsenal.
Brain of Arsenal.
It's about time during this international break period that we took stock and had a check on the scores of Brain of Arsenalers. Adrian Clarke and I have been going toe-to-toe over the course of the season so far on the Arsenal Weekly podcast. Delighted to say that our illustrious editor, Liam Roberts, joins us on the line. Liam, how's it going?
Morning, Dennis. Yeah, very good. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Thank you. Looking forward to a week away from the hardcore head-to-head.
We were just saying off air, Liam, that what a relief it was that we didn't have to do our revision this week.
What the listeners won't know, and what Russ, you won't either, there's actually a bigger competition going on this week in the Premier League, and that's the mighty Robos Rangers in fantasy football up against Avery Ham, Adrian Clarke's fantasy football team.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait for that, Liam. I've made a couple of transfers. I'm psyched up for this one at the weekend.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit of desperation tactics after the after the weekend international game.
So, Liam, Clarke and I have been properly getting our teeth into Brain of Arsenal for several weeks now. There's a bit of a trend, isn't there? People win, they win again, and then they get humbled in week three and it all flips. I wonder how that means the scores have panned out for the first few weeks.
Yeah, so I've gone a bit further into the numbers. So we've had 8 rounds of the quiz already, as it stands. 3 points for a win, 1 for a draw. So after the just those points alone, you were level on 11 points each. That's 3 wins each and 2 score draws, I think it was. As I mentioned earlier in the season, you'll get an extra point for the person who's changed his subject the least amount of times. At the moment, you've both changed it 3 times. That's another bonus point each, on to 12. And then there's one more bonus point for the person who's answered the most questions correctly. So even in defeat, you want to be answering your questions. As that stands, questions correct. Adrian has 22 and Russ has 20.
Ooh.
So, Adrian, you lead by 1 point as it stands, 13 to 12.
Oh, I'm pleased with that. Look, I mean, I'm just going to take each round as it comes. Not going to, you know, I'm not going to get too carried away with this. You know, just going to work hard and see what the next game brings.
Is that the response to the 5 second team talk from your player? Is that very good?
So hang on. I'm slightly confused. Do we only round up the questions after 8 weeks? Is that you get that
just
bonus point
stock,
once
I
every
think.
8 weeks?
No, that's at the end of the season. I just wanted to know where it stands.
But yeah, no, happy.
I'm intrigued as well. Bring it on. Liam, for quite an intriguing one, aren't I? I'm going for Arsenal kits, which I'm mildly confident about.
You've bought a book on it, haven't you? Or you've got a book at home. So there's one brought out recently. I bet you've read it cover to cover. Haven't you?
And what have you got? He says, moving swiftly on.
I'm still on the cup final, aren't I? 2014 cup final. But yeah, no, bring it on. He's a shrewd one, this Russ. Look, he's looking at me, guilty face.
Or am I just playing some mind games? We will find out in a week's time.
Mind games.
Liam, thank you very much indeed. That's Liam Roberts, our Arsenal Weekly podcast editor. And Clarkey, when can we either see and or hear you again?
I will be back on the Match Day show this weekend for that Watford game. Looking forward to it.
The final word.
Well, the final word this week goes to a group of junior Gunners who helped take over Match Day for the visit of Doncaster a couple of weeks ago.
I'm the Match Day experience manager. I've already had a meeting and I've had a very good dinner. It's really exciting and I've just seen Thierry Henry, so I don't see how this day can get any better. It's right next to me.
I am helping with the commentary whilst the game is going on. It's the whole Doncaster team, and in my mind I know who's more likely to start and who's not.
It's better than the other one.
What are you doing next week?
I've been working with these ladies here and helping to sign all the people in and then also helping put the team sheets out. The best thing today has been meeting Arsene Wenger and getting his signature in my book.
What do you have to do today? So explain it to me.
So we went to the pitch to make sure that everything was good.
How was the pitch?
It was good. We went to the changing room to make sure...
Did you go to the changing room?
Everywhere.
You know, out there.
Don't tell me what to do.
Oh, wow, you see that? Hey, she's learning quick.
I'm going to film the Arsenal team.
In an Arsenal shirt, was it Aston Villa?
Well, Aston Villa was a very nice moment. We beat them 6-2. I was lucky enough to get 5 goals. So, yeah, that's pretty high up on the list.
Well, that was Tony Woodcock speaking pitchside with Nigel and with Boris. We've got Theo here as well, who's been on directing duty, producing duty tonight. You've been behind the scenes in the world of television. How have you enjoyed it?
Great, fun. I was surprised I even got chosen, because maybe I wouldn't get chosen for this kind of thing. I'm happy I did.
Arsene Wenger moves his team into the fourth round of the Carabao Cup.
And finally, how did you prepare for a match against a side that you hadn't played against?
Yeah, it's quite difficult. Today was the unknown, but we won at the end, and I'm pretty happy with that.
Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Max Jones, to Jack Wilshire and to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. We'd like to know how we're doing on the podcast, so please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. You can subscribe as well and also find us on Acast. Plus, remember to get your questions into Clarkie for the Chalkboard on Twitter using the hashtag ArsenalWeekly. We're back on Monday the 16th of October, so until then, bye for now. Also, don't forget the latest Arsenal Weekly podcast, Stories, is currently available, where we hear about the life and times of the invincible, this Colo Torre.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.